this morning's scripture comes from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we know that you are in this place, but we also know that you are in this community. For all who are here in the sanctuary and all who are viewing on television today or computer, Lord, you are in this world. Your holy breath breathes in us. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your voice today in spite of my own. Give us a calm and a peace and a sense of joy to be able to worship you. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a little synopsis. May has a designation of being special things in this month. Mother's Day is one of them. It's also in the church, it is Christian Family Home Day. And we also want to recognize that May is Mental Illness Awareness Month. And mental illness is one of the most common and devastating and yet stigmatized maladies of our lives. If this is an age of anxiety, we must be a church of healers and hope givers. We will pray for those who deal with various forms of trauma and the consequences of mental illness. Those who care for people with mental illness and open compassion for our own struggles as well. 1 in 6 children and teens between the ages of 6 and 17 now experience a mental health disorder every year. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for people between the ages of 10 and 34. That should be staggering to each of us. The story today focuses on the response that some teens in Minnesota who wanted to put on a healing summit in Minneapolis and hosted the event in a church. Their program contained theatrical expression and lessons on healing and resiliency, bringing in different groups to touch on the unique way mental health struggles especially impact children and youth of color. This event made space to expressions made for trauma and to be unpacked, as well as other concrete tools to help participants manage the effects of trauma. The power here was in the advocacy of youth of Minneapolis, who took matters into their own hands to put this event on and empowering their community with real and effective routes to healing and destigmatizing mental illness. So, what does the Great Commission have to do with that? Well, the Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew is the very last word of the entire Gospel of Matthew. The last words that Jesus had for his disciples here were words that empowered them to be proclaimers of the good news that Jesus had brought. The disciples would be baptizers. We see in other accounts like Acts that they also became miracle workers. And they did much to continue the work Jesus had begun. The Great Commission is a moment of empowerment to do great things, to make disciples, and to teach them the way that Jesus taught. There were powerful similarities here to the empowerment of these teens that I had just been talking about, who claimed their own healing work for themselves to put on this event that would provide tools of healing for their community. The lessons the Healing Summit shared with the community likely spread far beyond the initial hundreds of youth that attended. And when we learn something that can help ourselves, we can also share what we learn with others so they can reap the benefits of those lessons. You see, the disciples sat at the feet of Jesus and learned from him in about 3 years. They had much to teach. And as we are well aware, those teachings spread like wildfire. So as a child, the teachings of those who poured into me now pour out into you. And I know that many of you who are sitting here have poured out into other people as well. Some of you were Sunday school teachers. Some of you were youth leaders. Some of you poured out to the adults and taught adult Sunday school, or maybe even teach a Bible study. The thing is, we're still drawing in breath. And if you breathe in and breathe out, you'll be breathing in the Lord's holy breath today, the Holy Spirit, which gives us the power to be able to be a person who reaches out to other people still. Now, I'm not as young as I was yesterday, and I'm certainly not as young as I was 20 years ago. And I know each of you can say the same, and you know what? Tomorrow I won't be as young as I am today. But we are a people who are called. Called for so many things. When I was first learning how to be a pastor, I remember taking a class that called for being present. You know, none of us in here can fix all of the problems of the world. And if we started listing off all of the problems, there would be many, many of them. And we sometimes wonder why these problems happen. Why do we have to go through this? The thing is, God never said, nor did he promise, that things in this world wouldn't happen. What God promised was that God would be present in our lives. God is here, in this place, in this community, in this nation, and in this world. But we are called to be the hands and the feet of Christ. We are called to be present. What would it look like if we were present for those who were suffering some form of mental illness, whether it be depression or grief or loss? And I will admit to you that today, being Mother's Day, is a day that is a day of grief for so many. Those who have lost children, those who have not been able to have children, those who wonder where their children are right now, for the mother who has been taken away from her children in one way or another. But yet, we honor those who are women. We honor them because God loved them and loves us, each and every one of us. If you want to know who loved you first, it was God, who knew you before you were born. If you want to know who continues to love us, it's also God through Jesus Christ, where he told us in that passage that he was going, that he was ascending to heaven. And in fact, that was the last words that he had to his disciples before he ascended. Now, if you read the Luke version or the Acts version, we also know that he told them to wait, that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit would be with them. They just had to wait. Well, we're here today, no longer having to wait. And next week, we will be celebrating the day that the Holy Spirit came to live in the disciples and each one of us. And you can wear red next week to help celebrate, because it is the birthday of the church, not just Stone, but every church in the world, the Holy Church, the Universal Church, the Holy Catholic Church, little c. And if you think about that, that's a good day. We should be reaching out to help other people. We should be loving them right where they are. That's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus asked us to do. And sometimes we can fix things just like that. Sometimes it takes a whole village. It takes counselors. It takes people who are willing to serve and give a meal. It takes somebody who's willing to pack a bag and send it home with children. It takes somebody who's willing just to hold a door open and to smile. Or have you ever done this? I'm an Aldi shopper. I love to go to Aldi's. And if you want to make somebody smile and just turn their day around, leave a quarter in the cart. It's the cheapest way that you can make somebody else smile, because all of a sudden they get this bonus cart that they didn't have to put a quarter in to go through the store. It's a simple act of love and kindness. And when we begin with those simple acts of love and kindness and understanding, the church grows. The church grows. The church is relational. How did Jesus teach? How did the church grow back then? Well, he started by doing things and speaking to people and acknowledging that they were real human beings, and he was too. Just like I'm a real human being and you are as well. So when you go out today, the Great Commission still applies. We're supposed to go out and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that means start with kindness, start with gentleness, start with love. Meet people right where they are, whether they're in a cycle of grief or a cycle of joy. Cry with them, celebrate with them. Hold their hand and let them know that God loves them right where they are. Let us pray. Lord, on this day, we know that there is joy. And because of the wonderful children that I've had throughout my years, whether they be my students in my classroom or children at church or my very own three children and my two bonus children, grandkids that are on the way or already here, brothers and sisters, we are all children of the living God. And we are told in Scripture in Matthew that Jesus wants to wrap us in his love like a mother hen takes her chicks under her wings. Touch us, Lord God. And as you touch us, Lord, give us a good, healthy dose of your Spirit so that we may go out baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And may we disciple until we no longer have breath in these mortal bodies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.